بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ذو شيء بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, perhaps after the Prophet, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the most difficult responsibility which needed to be carried out in the most complete and perfect way was the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. At the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the munafiq and the hypocrites started to stick up their necks up high, thinking that now this is the right time to completely dissolve the companions, be it Muhajireen or be it the Ansar, be it Hazrat Ali, be it Uthman, be it Umar Farooq, or be it Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. With all the fitans that erupted on the face of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was a man who showed no fear. Absolutely, absolute calm. All the fitans are around him, surrounding him. Hazrat Barar radiallahu ta'ala an says that the messengers from the different areas would come into Madinatul Munawwara and give bad news to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq that so and so tribe have apostated, so and so are now trying to enter into Madinatul Munawwara, so and so tribe is amassing an army against you. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq would just smile at them. It was as if though someone was giving him glad tidings and not bad news. Subhanallah. On one side you have the hypocrites, munafiqin, in Madinatul Munawwara. And then you have those who are the murtaddeen, those who apostated, the fitna of riddah. Then you have the tribes who say that we are Muslims, but we will not pay Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an zakat. That was only exclusive for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another fitna. Another fitna was to make sure that the Khilafat was understood clearly in between all the companions. And another fitna that was there was also, in every tribe there were people who wanted now to get that position and earn that position. So they started to claim Nabuwat prophethood, and they said that we are also a Nabi, like how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a Nabi. And then you had the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire looking into Madinatul Munawwara and were trying to attack that city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Madinatul Munawwara. So from all angles, the enemies are there. In the middle is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam is resting. Everything is on his shoulder. Subhanallah. Just imagine, my respected brothers, what the situation must have been for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. This is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala gives us a beautiful example. She says that the companions were like scattered goats in a land that is full of wolves, in the night, in a stormy, cold, rainy night, and wolves are everywhere, and the shepherd is only one, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, no fear. Very calm. It is said that some of the companions came to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and they said that, Amirul Mu'mineen, no one has this quality except for you. If you remember when Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the news broke out that Huzur Alayhi Salaam has passed away, all the companions were not in that right condition. And some of them went out of Madinatul Munawwara. People like Hazrat Umar Farooq said that, no, Huzur Alayhi Salaam is resting, he will come back. But the only man in full control was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So he was also in full control against the fitn. So the companions questioned him, Amirul Mu'mineen, this quality of yours, how did you earn that? My respected brothers and elders, this quality that he earned was by staying in the khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, you get some people who say, oh gee, what do you get in listening to Maulana's dars 30 minutes? What do they say? 30 minutes. What do you get in listening to a Maulvi who is only an Imam? 30 minutes. And on a Friday, 30 minutes. Well, my respected brothers and elders, these are the juhala of the Ummah. And there is no greater jahil than them. Subhanallah, it has been the tradition and the sunnah of this Ummah that people would sacrifice not 30 minutes, but years upon years, years upon years, and they would stay in the khidmat of shuyukh and ulama and scholars. It is a shame today, my respected brothers, that shaitan is trying his very best to pull away the general public from the ulama, from the sulaha, from the imam of masajid, to pull them away. And this is the politics that is played, and on top of that is the shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the sense. Give us the sense, my respected brothers. If the ulama were not here, my respected brothers, and I say this very categorically clean, the minarets and the domes that you see in the United Kingdom would not have been here. It is the barakat of the ulama of this ummah. And nothing else. And nothing else. If these madaris and maqatib and darul uloom were not there, then believe me, you'd be prepared to pay £100 for your tuition, for the tuition of your child, and you would want an alim to come to your house and you would respect him. Subhanallah. But today everything is there. So we have no qadr. So what do you get in 30 minutes? To fir jao. Fir pata chale. Go and look at Uzbekistan. Go and look at the Soviet Union and that part of the region that did not do qadr of the ulama. Go and look at Iraq today, that the ta'aleem and ilm is completely in the style of universities, and that is it, and the madaris and the maqatib is not there. Whenever you take this out, this ummah is punched so badly that it will take them another 50 years to come back up. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. It is shocking, shocking. Main baat sunta hu, hairan ho jata. Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah al-Azim. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam says that on the day of Qiyamah, the general ummah, they will be fed and given how their kawsar to drink by the special goblets that are there. But when my the ulama of my ummah come, I will give them my hands. I will give them my hands. Subhanallah. Some of the things that you hear, it makes you sick. I'm sorry if I may use these harsh words. All you have to do is go to countries like America and some parts of Europe, where they are desperate for people who have knowledge. And where there is knowledge, you see the shaitan that puts an Islamic label there, and with the Islamic label, and he wants to deceive the ummah. And they feel that by staying in the company of ulama or by sitting in the gathering, what do they earn? Kya hua ji, aadhe ghante mein tumhe kya milega? Does your level of iman increase? Does it increase? What do you get? Nothing. Allahu Akbar. And I can go on, my respected brothers, but I don't want to go into that because that's not the topic. We are talking about one of the greatest human beings after Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. He stood firm. And this barakat that was given to him, that he feared no one but Allah, was that companionship, that exclusive period of time which only he was given and he earned. When Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, he spent his time in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 days. And when the enemies came to look for Rasulullah and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq got so scared because fear was in his heart at that time. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, if the kuffar were to just look beneath them, where the feet are, they will notice us. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Nabi. Kamal-e-Yakin is given to Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. And after Anbiya, Kamal-e-Yakin is given to Siddiq. That's why Siddiq and Nabi, subhanallah, it's very close. I'm not saying in any way, don't get me wrong, that it is Nabuwat. It is not Nabuwat, but it is a very close connection. They are always in the company of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. These are the Siddiq of the Ummah. And so Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Aba Bakrin, Ma ra'yuka bi ithnaini Allahu thalithuhuma. O Abu Bakr, what is the opinion? What is your opinion of the two for which Allah is the third? What is your opinion of those two for whom Allah is the third? And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said that at that time, Huzur alayhi salam says, Inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. Ma'ana, with us. And ayat kareema, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down his sakina, his tranquility, not only on Hazrat Rasulullah, but also the one who was accompanying him, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So he said to the companions, from that moment, from that period of time, from that company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that tranquility that was given to us, and that ayat kareema that was revealed, Inna Allah ma'ana, that Allah is with us, Abu Bakr Siddiq fears no one. Abu Bakr fears no one. This was the yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to help me. And subhanallah, when you look at the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, victory upon victory came to him. Victory upon victory came to him. And all the fitans that were there, Musaylamatul Kazzab's fitan was taking root in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. When Musaylamatul Kazzab was assassinated, another man, a powerful man, Aswad-e-Anasi, claimed to be a prophet. And once he captured this great Tabi'i, whose name is Abu Muslim Al-Khawlani. Abu Muslim Al-Khawlani, he is a Tabi'i, one of the greatest Tabi'i. And Abu Muslim Al-Khawlani was captured by Aswad-e-Anasi. So Aswad-e-Anasi said to him that, do you take me as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, Rasul ki baat nahi ho rahi hai. Do you take me as Rasul? As in, he was an imposter. So he said, oh, can't hear. He did ishara. What are you talking about? So he says, do you take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as Nabiullah? He says, yes, I take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a Nabi. So he asked him again, do you take me as Rasulullah? So he says, can't he? Now imagine to do that in front of Aswad Anasi, where he is based with his army. And he asked him again, do you take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as Rasul? He says, na'am. He says, do you take me? And he says again, well, I don't understand what you're saying. He got so angry, Aswad Anasi. He said to his followers that today I have decided that I am going to burn Abu Muslim al-Khawlani in front of you. I'm going to burn him. So he gave his decision that Abu Muslim should be put on the stake to be burnt. And Abu Muslim al-Khawlani was there, tied. His hands were tied with ropes and everything. And this fire was in front of him. Abu Muslim al-Khawlani was put into that fire, thrown into that fire. And everybody, all the army and his followers are just looking at Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, who is a tabi'i, not even a sahabi, a tabi'i. And nothing is happening to Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. Jaise wo janwar ko hum roast karte hai na, is tarike se, niche aag, Abu Muslim is on top like that. Nothing is happening to him. And now they start to look at Aswad Anasi, who claims to be a prophet, but he can't burn somebody who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, put more fire, put more fire. Maybe this is not enough. So they put more fire and fire, but nothing happens. Eventually they surrender. And they say, right, Abu Muslim ko chutti de do. Abu Muslim al-Khawlani is set free. And some of his close people said to him that it is better now that you release Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, because he will be a fitna for the rest of the people and they will become Muslim when they find out that he was not burnt by you. So they released Abu Muslim al-Khawlani and he went. In the time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq, when Abu Muslim al-Khawlani came to Masjid al-Nabawi, Hazrat Umar Farooq found out and he said that, where is that man who was tested by Aswad Anasi? So people were pointing out that there he is. Now he was such a mutawazi person that he didn't say it's me. He says, yes, the person who was tested by Aswad Anasi is Abdullah ibn Thawb. Abdullah ibn Thawb, this was his name. So Umar said, it is you? And he says, yes. Then he said, yes, it is me. So Umar Farooq came to him, hugged him and kissed him on the forehead and says, Alhamdulillah, that Allah has shown me from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the mu'ajiza that Allah had given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that karamat is given to a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the status. That a mu'ajiza given to a Nabi like Ibrahim alayhi salam, that karamat is given to the follower of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was an incredible man. Abu Muslim, subhanallah, al-Khawlani was an incredible man. Waqi, bahut bade buzrug the, a great, great tabi'in. It is said that Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, he fought against the Romans. And what had happened is that he made wasiyat that even when I die, give me the banner of jihad and put it with me in the grave, so on the day of Qiyamah when I come out as a mujahid.
MashaAllah.
I come out as a mujahid. SubhanAllah. So this is why we have to make a lot of dua for mujahideen fi sabilillah. Those who give their life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua for them with khulus. Nowadays what happens when we talk about karamat and mu'ajizat, talking on the subject of Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, sometimes we see that there is a lot of exaggeration. Fala buzruk mein yun phook mari, the plane starts to shake. Fala Buzruk says, phew, Abid becomes 10 years younger. Not that he's old. But there's a lot of exaggeration, you know. I was reading this book that there was this murid, he wanted to cross a river, this river, and there were no boats. So someone said to him that, oh, you want to cross the river? Oh, cross the river. He says, well, how? He says, are you not the murid of Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi? He says, yes, I'm the murid of Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi. Now, there is no doubt Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi is the greatest wali. Do you doubt that? Anybody doubts that? Nobody doubts that. We Sunni Muslims don't doubt that. Do we doubt that? No. We are Sunni Muslims. Bole? Kaise hai? Sunni Muslims. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are. So he said that, okay, you want to cross the river? No problem. Cross the river and say, Ya Junaid al-Madad, Ya Junaid al-Madad, Ya Junaid al-Madad. And this man just crossed the river and saying, Ya Junaid al-Madad, Ya Junaid al-Madad, Ya, as the Shias say, Ya Ali Madad, Ya Ali Madad, Ya Ali Madad. Do you think that if Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an would be alive now, you know what he would do to those people who say, Ya Ali Madad? He'd take his sword out and cut off the head. And I have no doubt in that. Instead of saying, Ya Allah, Nuh alayhi salam was given 950 years of Nabuwat so that his people can practice the word, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Rabbi inni da'autu qawmi layla wa nahara. فَلَمْ يَزِيدْهُمْ دُعَائِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. So what is Ya Allah? إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ أَنْ أَنْذِرْ قَوْمَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Worship Allah, fear Him, and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Ummah is reminded five times a day, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Allah, hum ibadat teri karte hai, madad bhi tujhi se mangte hai. Madad bhi, isti'ana yasta'inu means to take help from. So we take help from? So there is a lot of exaggeration. Now just to put an acid test or to give you a clear rule, how to understand which karamat. Karamat is something supernatural. Anything that is done by a Nabi is mu'jiza. Anything that is done by a non-Nabi, someone who's not a Nabi or a Rasul, it is karamat, be it Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in or anybody else. Generally, a lot of the karamat that we see is connected to jihad fi sabilillah. What is it? Jihad fi sabilillah. So in the jihad, if somebody says that a group of the Muslimin were in jihad and such events happened, like in Afghanistan, the Nusrat that came, like in Shishan, the Nusrat that came, and the Nusrat that comes, that subhanallah, one man is walking, but the enemy see 2,000 people. So now if it is connected to jihad, if it is in the context of jihad, then without hesitation accept that this is without a doubt the karamat. What is it? Because karamat usually comes with extreme khulus and sincerity. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was in the battle of Tabuk. Where was he? Let me reiterate, in the battle of Tabuk, Sahaba-e-Kiram Ajmain had no water to drink or to do wuzu or to do ghusl. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam put his hands in front of the companions and water was coming out. What was coming out? Water. How many people drank from that? The entire army, entire Muslim army, all of them, they were the fortunate people, water that is more greater than Hawz-e Kawthar. They were drinking the water from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that came out from inside the body of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, and all of them were drinking. The hands of Rasulullah was like a fountain. Was that not jihad fi sabilillah? That was Ghazwa Tabuk. What was it? Ghazwa Tabuk. Usually you see in the ummah that if it is connected with jihad fi sabilillah, it is a karamat. Generally, karamat is not something that it's like hocus pocus, aapne kuch phunk maal bhi ho jaye. It's not that. So we have to be very, very careful. One is jinns that are working and employed for a person, and one is taqwa. That real taqwa is there, subhanallah, that gives it out. That really gives it out. And once in the battle of Khandaq, Hazrat Javir noticed that Huzur alayhi salam and the companions are extremely hungry. So he went to his house and said that the condition of Rasulullah is such that they are hungry, the companions are hungry, what have you got? What have you got? And she said that one small animal, goat, perhaps just enough for Huzur alayhi salam and the close companions, meaning the senior companions like Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar Farooq and Abdul Rahman bin Auf and the rest, Hazrat Ali, but not for all of them. So she said that, go and tell Rasulullah, I will prepare a meal. Now the Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looks that so many companions are there, and he comes and he says, I want to say something. Huzur alayhi salam says, come Jabir, you want to say something? And he whispers in the ears, Ya Rasulullah, I am giving you da'wat at my house. I am giving you da'wat at my house. Huzur alayhi salam stood up, says, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Jabir here is inviting all of us for a meal at his house. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Javi started to panic and he ran straight to the house and said to his wife that this is what has happened. Now, if you have a decent wife, MashaAllah, you will see from her that she will be more consoling and more receptive. She will understand the situation. But if you have one of those wives sharper than a blade, as they say, sharp teeth and a sharp tongue. SubhanAllah, wives of the companions. And she says, don't worry. Tell me one thing. Did you whisper in the ears of Rasulullah and did you clearly say, only you and a few companions? He says, I did exactly what you told me. He says, then don't worry. Now the Jabir started to panic. He came, Huzur alayhi salam saw him that the face was a bit red. And so he said that, oh, Jabir, come here. Once the food has been cooked, tell your wife to cover it with a cloth and not to open it. This was a miracle. And the pot was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam put his saliva, auspicious saliva, aapki lu'abi mubarak usme, and closed it again. 900 sahaba-e kiram ajma'een ate from that one small pot. Kitne? One small pot. Yeh jihad ki barakat hai na mere. A group of Christians. Ab to aap isha ke liye thehar jayenge na? Kaha jana hai? What time is azan musab hai? You always give it early anyway. Huh? 10 minutes. But in the timetable I might have a few minutes extra. Because Musa Abai always gives it very early. A group of Christians came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the northern part of Arabia, the entire community. And all of them came in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, we have studied the scripture, the Injil, and we have no doubt that you are the messenger, Muhammad and Ahmad, that is mentioned in our scriptures, and it is for this reason that we come to you, that all of us, we want to become Muslims. Now the entire community, puri basti, aap samjhe, puri basti, all of them. So Huzur alayhi salatu was salam gave him the hands, and said, they bay'a to Rasulullah, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, in the middle of the area where we live, in the city, there is this massive building, it's a church, where all of us go and worship. Aliyazu billah, they would do shirk with Allah, and they would take Jesus as the Son of God. They would do shirk there. So this building is in the center. Like if you go to Spain, Cordoba is right in the heart, the Cordoba Masjid, in Cordoba. So all the Muslimin on a Friday would pray in that one masjid which is in the heart of Cordoba. So this was a massive church. So we have become Muslim now, what do we do with this building that is there? So Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam said to them, what I want you to do now that all of you have become Muslims, so there is no Christians there. So when there is all Muslims, you don't need a church. So what you do is go and bring that church down, raise it down to the ground. And on that spot, exactly where the church was standing, I want you to build a masjid, a house of Allah. This is my hukam to you, go and build a masjid. And they said that, but we still have one problem. And as they were about to say what that problem was, Hazur alayhi salam said that stop, and said to the companions that go and bring water for me, I wish to do wuzu. Now water was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did wudu, did kulli, maghmada, everything. And it is not like our wuzu. When we do wuzu, the water goes into the drain, into the system, in the gutter. Gutter mein chala jata. Huzur alayhi salam, and he would do wuzu. Subhanallah, every care was taken that not a single drop is wasted. Like how we take care of Zamzam, greater than that they would take care of the access water that comes out from Rasulullah. So there was a bowl on top, and then there was a covering on the ground so that if the water falls, it is still secured. So every drop of Rasulullah was saved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So water was given, he did wuzu, washed the feet, everything. And that water was collected and put into this pot. And Huzur alayhi salatu was salam said that, you were about to question me, and your answer is this water of wuzu, the access water that has come out from my body. They were saying that it would be better for us to construct a masjid in a different area. If we build a masjid in the same area, what will happen is that we are human beings, our thoughts will go to the past, and we will think about what we used to do in this part of the masjid, what we did there, because before it was a church. So we will know exactly what we did in this area. So we feel that this is guna, because we have become Muslims, why should we think of shirk after that? Huzur alayhi salam said that no, once the building is put down to the ground, and when you start building the masjid, put the water, sprinkle the water everywhere in its foundation. That is all what you do. And they said that, Ya Rasulullah, it is extremely hot. By the time we get there, this water might not be there. Huzur alayhi salam said, mix this water with the other water that you have. Inshallah, it will only increase in barakat. And this water was taken, the group that was Christians, now all have become Muslims, mashallah, go there. Do as what Rasulullah told them. They put the church down, build a masjid, and sprinkle the water in its foundation. And when they entered the masjid after its completion, it is said that the entire memory chip, what happened to the past, everything was erased from them. Everything was erased for them. They never ever knew that once upon a time them or their forefathers were Christians. So if somebody would say to them, what are you? They would say, well, we were born Muslims. We were born Muslims. This is the mu'ajiza of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So usually it is connected to the jihad. So when it is connected to that, then you accept it without any difficulty. Abu al-A'la al-Hazrami, when in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq told him to go and fight the Murtad that were in Bahrain. Now, the Ridda, those that became Murtad, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was never harsh. But with those that became Murtad, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq gave his fatwa to punish them severely, so that they understand that Islam is not a joke. You become a Muslim, you remain a Muslim. You can't become a Muslim on a Monday and then become a kafir on a Tuesday. It is not a joke. You either become a Muslim or you don't become a Muslim. But ridda is a severe punishment. So these were the instructions given to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. And Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, when he would find any of those that were murtad, he would severely punish them. He would burn them, and he would cut off their limbs and he would take them up to the mountains and he would push them down from there. And there was no mercy, because this was the sabak that the Muslimin had to give them in the beginning so that everything comes under control. This was the policy of the Muslim government at that time. Subhanallah. So Abu al-A'la al-Hazrami noticed that the instructions of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, just a few more minutes, was that to tackle the Ridda in Bahrain. What had happened is that Bahrain were different islands also. So there was one particular island where all these Murtaddeen had taken refuge. Now the Muslims were with their horses to cross to that island. There was sea in the middle. They had no boat. Some of them had never seen a boat, the companions. So how do they get to that island? It is said that via the boats that were there, it was one day's journey. So Abu al-A'la al-Hazrami, who was the Amir of that group, said that we are Mujahideen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself that he will help us. So he said, let us all come and let us all make dua. They all made dua, and he made dua, Allah, we are here, so we can protect your deen, and our enemies are there, in the middle is the sea, and we are here, we have nothing. And he made dua, and he says, right, all of you get onto your animals, sit on your horses. Those that don't have horses, walk it with me. Walk it with me where? And there with his horse, Abu al-A'la al-Hazrami, and the army of the Muslimin. Now, can you picture yourself, mashallah, to be there and to see this Muslim army? It is said, with the horses and the camels, they stepped on the top parts of the water, the sea, with everything there. It is said the water would only reach to the ankles of the animals, and those that were walking, it would only soak their feet. That is it. And they walked it all the way to that island, which was a day's journey. It is said they went to that island with their horses and everything. They defeated the enemies, they captured them, and they came back the same way. They had no boat, and they came back and they did all that in 24 hours. That is why it is said that the highest ranked priest in Bahrain, who was a Christian, became a Muslim, and this was horror for the Christian community at that time. Imagine, yani ye aisi baat hai ki koi aapko yun kahe ki ye John Paul jo chala gaya wo musalman ho gaya. Can you imagine what would happen? So he was in that position and he became Muslim. So when he became Muslim, they said to him, what made you become a Muslim? He said that I feared that if I did not become a Muslim, Allah would transform me and punish me and would get rid of me or do something to me. I would be punished severely. He says, why? He says, when the Muslims were coming, I could hear from above them angels that were communicating and talking to themselves. So this is the awsaf of the Muslimin, mashallah. And this is the difference that is there between mu'ajiza and karamat. And a lot of people very want to simplify things and exaggerate a lot of things. You see, fala ye karamat hui, fala ye karamat hui, fala ye. Allahu a'lam. But this is what our ulama have said, that when we look at the tariq, generally it is with mujahideen fi sabilillah, and it is with the shuyukh and the great muttaqeen and ulama and sulaha and awliyaullah, with them due to that taqwa it comes out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inshallah ta'ala, in the next session we will talk about Aswad Anasi, who claimed to be a prophet, and all the events that had taken place with him, inshallah, in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.